Okay, this evening, Be'ez Hashem, we are going to be learning page 204, the halacha of Hachana on Yom Tov. A quick point, which is a very specific point with regards to Hachana, which is Siman Tov Tzadi Hey Seif Dalet, the last line. And then we're going to enter a fascinating discussion of second day Yom Tov. It's a huge discussion and a fascinating topic. Talach of the second day Yom Tov. We're going to enter that discussion a little bit, and it's halachas, which is really fascinating. It's really fascinating. Every single Yom Tov, again, so many questions come up. Old ones, new ones. There's always a huge amount of conversation about the second day Yom Tov. And we're going to enter that sugya a little bit tonight in Mitzvah Hashem. So firstly, with regards to Achana, so page 204 on the top, which is the last line of Siman Tov Tzadihei, halacha is for us, Mutal Achim Yom Tov Rishon Lesheni. Rishon Yom Tov Shel Golis, when he's allowed to prepare from Yom Tov Rishon, from the first Yom Tov Lesheni to the second Yom Tov, Rishon Yom Tovim, on the 2 days, or 2 days Yom Tov Shel Golis. The simple understanding, but the false understanding is, you're allowed to do hachana, prepare from one day to the next. This is false. Of course, one is not allowed to prepare from the first Yom Tov to the second Yom Tov. We know that. There is a strict issur d'rabbanan of hachana. You're not allowed to prepare from the first day to the second day Yom Tov. So what does that mean? Mutal ha'ochim Yom Tov Rishon L'Sheni. It's very confusing and slightly misleading, if I may say. Because it's referring to something very specific. And it's the following. As Mishnah Berurah in Sif Kodon Chav Gimel explains, Mutal ha'ochim Roitz Elohim, at the b'chagoyin zeh shel peiros v'oitz, only with regards to something specific of peiros, fruit, v'oitz, and storage. Shentzorech Lasz Ma'aseh, that you don't require an action. Huv'amira ba'almen, only with a slight, simple, basic, verbal statement of Hachana you are preparing. That, Mutal ha'ochin, afilub Yom Tov, gufeim Yom Tov achalecha, with that you'll be allowed to prepare. So in other words, let's explain. There's two types of Hachanas. There's a conventional type of Hachana, you're preparing something from one day to the next. A common example is taking out the challahs from the freezer, adding water to the urn, plenty of achonas, preparing something, making a salad for the next day. These are achonas, and of course, this is an issa d'rabbanon from Shabbos to weekday, from weekday to the second day, from Yom Tov to second day Yom Tov. This is an issa d'rabbanon. You may not do achonah from one day Yom Tov to the next. Right. There's another type of achonah, and that's achonah alidei dibur, only a statement, a verbal statement, such as a specification. So for instance, something which we spoke about last year, storage which really should be mukta, but you are preparing and you want to know, this is the barrels of wine that I want to use on the second day. So here, by just making a verbal statement, as opposed to doing an action or pouring it out or whatever you may need to do, of course, a hachana, which is a physical hachana, would be also, but here comes the heta and the kula and the leniency, that a hachana, which is a verbal statement, just a notification, a statement, a verbal, that is permitted. This is a pile of fruits which I'm going to be using tomorrow. I'm not selling it. Okay, so thereby it's not mukta. Thereby it's prepared. Therefore, if I do that today for tomorrow, that's fine. You're allowed to prepare something today from tomorrow if it's alide dibu, a statement. Of course, not a physical action. You're not allowed to do achana today for tomorrow. But a verbal statement is permitted from one day to the next. And that is achana, which is permitted, which the Rambam is teaching us over here. Slightly misleading, I must admit, the words of the Rambam, but this is all it's referring to. Okay. Dinei Yom Tov Sheni Shel Golias, the halachas of second day of Yom Tov in Golias. Says the Shulchan Aruch, Begolias in the area surrounding Eretz Yisrael and beyond, any land which is not halachically stated as Eretz Yisrael. We'll talk more about that. You know the Eilat discussion, is a part of Eretz Yisrael. What is really called Eretz Yisrael? So whatever is outside of Eretz Yisrael, but God is also Shnei Yom Tov Misofek. We keep 2 days Yom Tov Misofek because of a doubt, because of a Sofek. Kol Masha also Berishon, everything which is forbidden on the first day Yom Tov, also B'Sheni is prohibited on the second day too. Furthermore, Menatin, we put in Cherem, Lemi, to who? Shemizal Zaboy, somebody who is lenient, disrespectful, and overly disrespectful on the second day Yom Tov, we put him in, we excommunicate him, we put him in Cherem. Ve'im utzov v'derabonin, if he's a Talmid Chacham, then Eimach Mirin and Adoisa, we're not so stringent with him. Elam Alkinoisa, but we give him lashes. So we'll talk about the second part of the Shulchan Aruch later, about this excommunication, about the lashes, about Talmid Chochem. We'll leave that out for now. Let's leave that out. Let's get to the crucial halacha initially. So we're learning that there is a halacha of keeping second day Yom Tov in Chutz La'aretz. Why so? Why do we keep a second day Yom Tov in Chutz La'aretz? Now, the root of it, of course, is that in the days when the Beis Hamikdash stood, then there was a easily, then the way it worked was that in the times of the way it worked was that the first day was really every Yom Tov has got 1 day. Really, every day is 1 day, but however, we don't exactly know when that day might be. So therefore, every place would have to be notified when Rosh Chodesh was, and thereby finding out if it's a, what exactly the Luach is, and thereby knowing what is the, once you know when Rosh Chodesh is, you also know when Yom Tov is. 15th for Pesach, or Sukkot, etc. You'd have to know when Rosh Chodesh is. So the places in the nearby areas, they knew for sure that those places we are within reach, and the notification will know for a fact, and we'll have an awareness when Rosh Chodesh is, and thereby they'll know exactly what the Luach is. However, the further away, they wouldn't necessarily find out exactly when Rosh Chodesh is. They might only know the next day. They might even take a few days for them to know, and therefore they might get the wrong date, and therefore we always keep 2 days, just in case it might be the first day, it might be the second day, and therefore we keep 2 days Yom Tov in Misofek. Now this was true as long as this was the system, but in the times of the Gemara, a new system was implemented of actually making a luach. And since then, is actually we are boki bekviach diyecha. As nowadays, we open up a luach and we know exactly when Yom Tov is. We know exactly when Rosh Chodesh is. Such as tonight, Good Chodesh, gentlemen. Good Chodesh to all. Therefore, we know exactly when Rosh Chodesh is. So therefore, really, there is no doubt anymore. We know this is Aleph Nissan. This is Tezvav Nissan. We know this is Aleph Tishrei, this is Tezvav Tishrei. We know exactly when the Yom Tov is. So why do we keep 2 days Yom Tov? So that Mishnah Berurah addressed in Sifkot and Aleph. Umenat we put in Cherem. And the Avar Gav, and although the Achshav nowadays, Bekir and Nubi Kviyas the Kviyas HaChodesh, we have a Kviyas HaChodesh, who have an exact knowledge of when Rosh Chodesh is, lifia cheshbon is according to the calculations shebadin which is in our hands. We call Mokim. Nevertheless, choshesh chachamim were concerned. Shema miroiv atzoris, perhaps because of the challenges, the agony, the difficulties, v'atel tulim begoluseinu. And the difficulties of the golus, of the difficult circumstances at times. Mikol Mokim, we know that in the camps, Yidden often didn't know. In Siberia also, many Yidden didn't know exactly what the Ruach was. So it's not that foreign to us, the concept of losing the dates. Perhaps the date of the month will be lost. They'll do the 30 day, month into 29, and vice versa. V'yoichlu chometz b'Pesach, they may chas v'shalom end up eating chometz on Pesach, and they may get the wrong dates for all the Yom Tovim as well. V'alken de v'inichu ha'tovach chomim kept the matter the way it was established previously b'chutzlaotz and chutzlaotz k'moshu b'yom rishonim, to where it was in earlier days. So it was kept. And there's two elements in it, really. One point is that it was just kept, since that's the way it was kept for many generations, so they just kept it on. They kept it on. We kept 2 days in Misofek for many years, so we're just staying that as a status quo. Point number one. But additionally, also, there's another point, that we never know. There's never really... We're never really sure what the future is going to bring. I mean, who would have thought 6 months ago or 4 months ago about a situation that we are currently going through? I would have thought you're mad, crazy, impossible. Well, all the shops are locking down, all the schools are shutting down. The whole world is that, you know, you get fined by just walking around on the street, international crisis. Who would have thought that's possible? So no, this can't happen anymore now. It can't, it's impossible. The science is much too developed. The economy is much too developed. The medical understanding is much too developed. You know, you'd have thought to me, Shugan, it's impossible. And yet we see that nothing is really, you know, you never know really what happens when one day can bring, you know, we're never really, really certain. So this is really the concept of it also, that Chachamim said, you know, you think you really, comfortable, you really think you know what the Ruach is? Well, you might not know. Baruch Hashem, be happy for your generation, but who knows what's going to be in 2 generations, 4 generations. You never know exactly what's going to happen. Therefore, we better keep 2 days Yom Tov to safeguard and protect Kal Yisrael from eating chometz b'Pesach. So that is really the background of it. So there's both the minhag of Aseinu B'Yodeinu, the minhag, the custom which has to be safeguarded and kept, point number one. Point number two, also, the potential reservation, the chashash and the suspicion that perhaps things are going to could go wrong in future generations again. A Yid is never 100% confident. He's never in a safe, he's never 100% in comfort zone. There's always that element that who knows what's going to happen. So that's the underlying yesod over here. Now, I want to bring out one nekuda, which the poskim discuss. I found a fascinating discussion. When you look at the map of Eretz Yisrael, there's a fascinating question which has to be raised. So the point is based on what? The point is based on the areas where the shluchim. So what the Shulchan Aruch is teaching us, that in Eretz Yisrael you keep one, in Chutz Lo'etz you keep 2 days. Right? Okay, that's what we say. So I know that there's that discussion of Eilat. Is Eilat really considered categorically Eretz Yisrael or not? It's the only place really which is questionable. Across on the east of the Yad, and there's not many Yidden living, so it's not much of a question. The Golan up there is also not much of a question. It's for sure Eretz Yisrael. But the question is more about, the question is as follows. We know that it's all based on where the Shluchim reached and where the Shluchim didn't reach. That's what it really is all about. Did if the messenger reached a place, so that's a place that if they reached it within a day, then that's something which you know, that's a place that you keep 1 day. If it's a place that was too far away, then you're going to keep two days. Now, therefore, really speaking, there's nothing really got to do with the map of Eretz Yisrael. If you've got the map of Eretz Yisrael in your head, we all know, if you're in Yerushalayim, where the Beis HaMikdash stood, and that's where the Sanhedrin was, and that's where the Beis Din HaGadol would proclaim Kodesh Kodesh when Rosh Chodesh was, if you've got a map of you, so look up north, how many miles is up north? How many miles? Anybody know? It's quite a distance, right? From Yerushalayim up north, similarly from Yerushalayim down south to the Negev, it's quite a distance as well. But if you go down to the east, you're hitting within miles, you're hitting the river. When you go to the west, you're reaching the beach and the sea also quite great. Really, really, you'd look at it. Well, if it's about the journey and the traveling of the shluchim, you should take if they reach 100 miles, surely they would be reaching 100 miles in a radius. What's it called? Radius, is that what it's called? There you go around. That's what it is. So fine, you should go like this 100 miles. If you reach 200 miles, make it 200 miles. But it has to be a consistency. You can't say that up north, they can reach the Golan Heights up north. South, they can reach the Negev, but on the east, oh no, they can only go up to the border. It doesn't make, it's very, very hard to understand. It's really hard to understand. And it's a question that's been bothering me for years. Why do we define Chutzlaretz and Eretz Yisrael, one day Yom Tov, two day Yom Tov, according to the borders? Nothing to do with the borders. Nothing to do with the borders. Surely nothing to do with the contemporary borders. I mean, I don't want to go into, you know, about questions of Zionism, not Zionism, Mizrahi, not Mizrahi. I'm not going into that at all. It's just the borders. But surely the borders are not irrelevant at all. It's nothing to do with the borders. Never mind of today's borders, even the borders of then of Eretz, it's not really relevant. All got to do with the practical, logistical situation. Can the Shluchim reach? Yes or no? So the Rambam seems to be saying that the truth. It seems to be machloek is a shenim, but Halacha Lemaisa, we don't paskin on that, and we go according to look at it's got to do with the borders of Eretz Yisrael. Does anybody have an answer to that? It's been bothering me for a long time.
You might say it's a light plug. It's strange to have different parts of the country keeping 1 or 2 days within the same country, but they even Eretz Yisrael. So maybe that's why. I mean, if technically,
they would
reach in 1 or 2 days.
They
kept it the same.
Yeah, so you're saying as a loy plug, we have to have a consistency, and it would be too difficult to have a consistent approach of mileage. So you're saying that the borders of Eretz Yisrael, that something that makes sense. Everybody can appreciate that, can understand that. It's consistent, it's straightforward. And although it may not be accurate, but it's at least easily, yet like a loyplug kind of thing. It's not accurate, but it's a loyplug. And therefore, we that's the way we keep 1 day, and beyond that we keep 2 days. I appreciate your answer, and I think that's something, it might be true. It still bothers me a bit, because it's so inaccurate, it's so far removed from the practical reality, it's so far that it bothers me a little bit. But yes, maybe that's the answer. Maybe that. Anybody? Any other suggestions? Yeah. Now, what is interesting also, I want to point that out, is that there was a secret chumras that people kept. That some people, even in Eretz Yisrael, they were concerned. They said, well, if it's all according to where the shluchim reach, and where the shluchim don't reach, where the messengers may get to, so you don't know, you don't have any evidence where they may have reached, may not. If you just go and according to the border of Eretz Yisrael, then fine, you know what's within the border, what's without. But if it's according to the shluchim, which that is really the reality, wherever the shluchim reach, that they keep 1 day. Whatever they reach, the shluchim don't reach, that's 2 days. So if that's the truth, so who knows where the shluchim got to? So the Chazon Ish secretly kept, so they say, he kept 2 days in the Bnei Brak. He said, I don't know, whatever shluchim here, I don't have any evidence that shluchim were here. So they said that the Chazon Ish in Bnei Brak, which is really not far from Yerushalayim, he kept the second Yom Tov Mechumra. He was concerned. Perhaps the shluchim might not have reached this place. He didn't know. So he kept second Mechumra, which is a very, very extreme Chumra, but that's what the Chaim Kanevsky says, his uncle Chazon Ish kept 2 days the Chumra in Bnei Brak. Similarly also, the Brisk Rav is well known that he kept, even in Yerushalayim, he said that, I don't know if Shluchim reached this part of Yerushalayim. Maybe they traveled different directions. I don't know, maybe nobody lived here. Maybe it's not a place that the Shluchim actually got to. And therefore the Brisk Rav apparently kept second Yom Tov in Yerushalayim itself, which is a very, very radical chumra, hard to swallow, but that's what the Brisk Rav apparently kept. Right, okay, let's carry on with Sifkoton Beis. Now, the Mishnah continues. So the Shulchan Aruch says that Menadin, we put in Chayim, Lemisha Mezalzel Boy, we put in Chayim somebody who is disrespectful. Now, we've got to realize there's two levels. There is Chayim, which is excommunication. That's one punishment that is in the hands of the Chachamim. Beis Din can excommunicate somebody. And there's another punishment which the Beis Din can give, which is lashes. Which one is worse? Excommunication or lashes?
Excommunication.
It's interesting that you're saying that. Why do you say that? Why do you say that?
It refers to a person's cover and how it affects his name. Lashes is just a very temporary pain for the
currents. Does everybody agree with that? Do you agree with that? Do you all agree that lashes is not as serious as excommunication? Yeah, Gideon agrees.
I think for any love in the Torah, which isn't specified, you get malchus, but you don't get excommunication for any love.
Yeah.
I'm not sure.
Okay, very good. So Barry's pointing out a very interesting point. What we're referring to over here is not the malchus of the Midrash. What Kagan is referring to is that the Israeli love in a Torah brings to Malchus. And Malchus is the lashes which Chachamim give, Medin Torah, really. It's a Yakenu, which is a mitzvah to give 39 lashes on somebody who is over on the love. However, we're not referring to this over here. We're referring to rabbinical system. And rabbinical, the Rabbonim have, the Bezin has a koyach to give punishments. One of the punishments they can give is to give makis mardis, which is rabbinical lashes. It's not exactly the same. It probably hurts physically as much as malchus, and it probably feels pretty much the same, but it comes from a different point. It's not the love that the Torah, it's not like the love, the punishment of a love that the Torah is referring to, but it's a different level, which is Makkah's mothers, which Chachamim give. And yes, and you are right that excommunication cherem is worse. I find that fascinating. And I think you're right, because it touches on a person's emotional world. Somebody's excommunicated, you're not allowed to daven, you're not allowed to speak with him, you're not allowed to talk to him, you're not allowed to, excommunication is somebody that touches on a person's social standing, emotional well-being, psychological well-being, and if that is affected, that seems to be far worse than the lashes, which are physical. And it is true that people don't remember generally. I've made once a bit of research. If somebody's hurt physically, I asked boys in school, asked what is more painful? Is it a pain that is occurred through the mouth, or is it somebody hitting somebody else? And everybody agrees that emotional pain is far worse than physical pain. And this is very much in line with that. Excommunication was considered the worst punishment than malchus. I find that fascinating. I find an absolutely fascinating concept. So the Shulchan Aruch appreciates that. And therefore, when we talk about somebody who is not keeping second day Yom Tov, Chachamim have got to put their foot down. Okay, this is a gentleman that doesn't keep second day Yom Tov. We've got to punish him. How do we punish him? We've got to make sure that he's going to keep the next Yom Tov. He's going to keep second day. How are we going to teach him a lesson once for good that he should keep second day Yom Tov? And here comes the answer. Well, it depends what kind of gentleman he is. If he's a person that is a Talmid Chacham, he gets one type of punishment. If he's a person that is a more general person, then he gets a different kind of punishment. But the point will be that if we want to punish him severely, we excommunicate him. If we want to punish him lightly, we only give him lashes. These are the words of the Shulchan Aruch. I'm going to go through that. We're going to discuss that in greater detail tomorrow. But umenadin, the last two words of the page 204. Umenadin, we put in cheyam lemishem zazelbo. We excommunicate somebody who is disrespectful. Ve'imu tzum merabonin, if it's a Talmid Chacham, and we tend to be leaning with the Talmid Chacham. So we're not as stringent that we're actually going to put him in cherem. Elo only malkin oisoi. We only give him malchus. We only give him makis mardus, which is rabbinical lashes. We are here not. Very good point. We find in some places we are more strict with the Talmid Chacham. Here we are more lenient. I believe the reason is because we expect him to turn around more quickly. He just needs a bit of a push and it'll be alright. He doesn't come from a shitter, he doesn't come from a he needs a bit of a push, he'll be alright. But other people may totally misunderstand the concept of second day Yom Tov. They may be very disrespectful with Beshitta, with the whole theory behind it. Therefore, we've got to push them more and they need a more severe punishment. As opposed to Talmid Chacham, who will just tell him a little bit off and he'll be be all right. So this is there's much more on this, and we'll discuss them with Shem tomorrow. Siv Kotten based in the Mishnah Berurah. Right, okay, gentlemen. So we learned this evening about the hachana that is muta on Yom Tov, which is not referring to general hachana. Rather, what it's referring to is the verbal statement to prepare something. That's muta on the first Yom Tov, the second Yom Tov. It's not referring to general hachana as it may appear from the words of Shulchan Aruch of the Ramah. Then we started, we commenced learning the halachos of Din Yom Tov Shen Shel Golis. We spoke about, in Golis we keep 2 days Yom Tov Misafek, and whatever is also on the second is, whatever is also on the first is also on the second. We spoke about the borders, we spoke about the reason behind it. The reason is, firstly, because there's a minhag, I was saying it b'yodein, we keep 2 days Yom Tov, and also because we're worried about what the future may bring. And we spoke about the potential punishment we may with some of that breaches that way he's going to get that punishment. Okay, we'll discuss in greater detail tomorrow, gentlemen. We'll discuss in greater detail. I wish you a very good evening.